I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Well, I'm a hard yes on the tax portion of it. I voted for the tax cuts in 2017. I think they led to a historic low in unemployment and a great economy. I'm for that. I think we should even add more tax cuts. I don't accept the CBO argument that they won't bring in more revenue. I think initially revenue goes down, but through economic growth, I think they will pay for themselves. So the tax cut portion I'm fine with. The spending cuts are weak, they're anemic, and they need to do more. Nothing in the bill changes the course of the accumulation of debt. We're accumulating about $2 trillion in debt every year. That's ongoing, and the bill will not materially change the direction of the accumulation of debt.
Well, an important voice there on the big, beautiful bill in the Senate, Rand Paul, of course, criticizing elements and approving elements of what the big, beautiful bill looks like coming into the Senate. Can they get this really tall order taken care of? Let's go to the expert on the Hill. Chad Pergram joins us once again, senior congressional correspondent for Fox News on X at Chad Pergram. Welcome back to the show, Chad. Thank you for being here today.
Hey there, Annie. Thanks for having me.
All right. Tell us all about the math. I know that you're the expert on that. The Senate is going to need to get this through. How is it looking right now for the Senate to be able to get something they can pass?
Well, it's just not about the math. It's about the content and the timetable. The math is predicated on the content. We think that the Senate is going to try to start debate on the resolution, on the actual bill on Friday. But they can only lose three votes. And I asked John Thune, the Republican leader, yesterday, I said, do you think when you go to pass this, will you lose a couple three? And he said, yes. He said that could be. He said some people just don't think that this bill is as good as it should be. And they're letting kind of the very good, you know, kind of overtake what they want with the perfect being the enemy of the good. So they're kind of struggling with this right now. The fact that we don't have full bill text, and this thing is supposed to be on the president's desk by the 4th of July. That's a problem, because remember, getting it through the Senate, then you have to sync up in the House of Representatives. And everything we're hearing from the House of Representatives, from conservatives, the Republican Study Committee, they're not too keen on this. They think that the bill got worse. They actually thought it would get better in the Senate, and the spending cuts aren't as deep as they would like, number one. Number two, they just don't think that this is what they sent over. They don't recognize the bill, frankly, and they said maybe they should just take what we sent over. Now, the problem with that is that the Senate has very specific budget rules. You can't put policy in a bill like this. And there are certain things that the Senate wants to do. And just because the House says you take it doesn't mean that the Senate will take it and vice versa. They are independent legislative bodies. And August Pfluger, who's a Republican from Texas, who's the chair of the Republican Study Committee in the House, which is the biggest block of conservatives in the House, he said, you know, that bill we sent over was perfectly fine. Well, the Senate doesn't think that necessarily. And I mean, so why should the Senate accept what the House sent over?
Sure.
So that's where they kind of stand. And they are starting to run out of track real fast if they're going to move this by July 4th.
Well, you know, it's never easy. And somehow or another, felt the same way about it in the House. And they managed to get the job done with more people and a tighter vote. So who are the leading voices right now in the Senate that are kind of representing each of the factions that need to be satisfied?
Well, the difference right now is that it's one thing to kind of run the table and get something through the House. What has not happened so far this Congress is getting a major piece of legislation through both the House and Senate. The only thing they really did on that front that was you know, controversial, at least to the Republicans, was the government funding bill, where they just re-upped all, you know, funding that, you know, had been, you know, put through in the previous Congress under President Biden, under the Democrats. And they got there because they got the help from Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader. So this is a different kettle of fish, frankly, the idea that they, you know, have to do this on their own and they need to have all their people, you know, lined up. Now, you asked me about who are the people to look at. I would definitely look at Josh Hawley from your state. He's somebody who's in play. At the end of the day, do we think that he would actually vote no? Probably not, but we have to see what's done on rural hospitals. I would really look at Rand Paul and Ron Johnson. I think they both might be hard nos. Maybe not Johnson, but Rand Paul for sure, because there's a debt ceiling increase in this. Tom Tillis, Republican from North Carolina, has looked askance at this. And also Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, John Kennedy from Louisiana. And then I would start to look at the moderate Republicans, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine.
Mm. So there are a lot of different directions that those names can take this bill. President Trump has a lot on his plate right now. He seems to be at least in pursuit of quite a few big victories from an administrative standpoint. But he has been a leader on making sure that these Trump tax cuts do become permanent. He said it's not a perfect bill when it came out of the House, but it's the best we can do. What's his relationship right now with everything going on in working with the Senate?
Well, you know, Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, was up here yesterday meeting with Senate Republicans. And I asked him, I said, do you think at the end you will be called upon to maybe negotiate and cut a deal with some of these Republican senators? And he said, no, I don't think so. So it's unclear how they resolve this so quickly when there seem to be these chasms and we don't have legislative text. You know, the success of moving those things through the House is that Mike Johnson has actually done, you know, from a legislative standpoint, almost a Pelosi-esque job of passing bills with very narrow margins, but he's gotten the help of the president. And so, again, at the end of the day, I think that's what they're kind of banking on, just the idea that they'll get something through and whatever that bill looks like, and the president will have to make some calls or lean on people and say, look, I need this, I need that, and you're going to pass the bill. If they don't, then that really reveals kind of an undercutting of the president's power and authority with Congress that he's had heretofore. Again, it's a little more complicated to get something of this nature through both the House and Senate. And that's why I point out that they've really not done this exercise before. And third of all, this is just a massive, complicated bill. I remember not that long ago that Republicans campaigned on the idea that they wanted single issue bills.
Yeah.
This is far for all the conservatives who extol that idea and then, you know, push this. This is anything but that. It has no taxes on tips. It has things on AI. They're trying to get other provisions into the bill. I mean, there's a lot in this piece of legislation.
Yeah, that certainly is the case. I've always enjoyed the thought of single bills because I think I'd be able to understand them, or maybe, maybe not. Chad Pergram with us right now. One thing I would like to ask you to explain very simply for us, because this is the criticism I hear the most about this bill from a lot of fiscal hawks. They want to see a lot more of those cuts in spending, the DOGE efforts be put into this bill that aren't. Is it possible to put into this bill?
No, they're not going to put that in. I mean, no. And there's two tracks to that. And this is why this is controversial, too. And this is why, you know, there's a lot of good talk in Washington right now, even though people say it's a new day and everything else. We haven't quite seen that yet. Let's see. The House barely, by one vote, mind you, passed a bill to rescind, this is canceling spending that was already appropriated and targeted by DOGE for public broadcasting and also for USAID. Passed only $9.4 billion, which is nothing in federal spending, $9.4 billion. That's the lowest hanging fruit you could have. So they passed that. It's now going to be before the Senate, presumably once they get this bill done, okay? And they only have until July 15th to move that, so that's going to be a crash course as well. And if they don't, that idea goes away. To see if they're able to get that through the Senate, we don't know. Now, that's the first bit of this. Can they do that? Maybe. But then it's going to go on to the next, you know, rescission. This is where the administration sends up a request and says, we ask you, Congress, and they've not done this in 30 years, to cancel some of the spending you already appropriated. This is the money they just spent in March, which some people might say, why in May and June are you canceling money that you obligated in March? Right. All right. Well, that's what they did. So that money cannot be put into this bill because it is it's just a different line of spending. It was recommended for spending cuts by DOGE, but none of those DOGE cuts are official until Congress acts. And that's why it was such a big deal for them to actually pass that bill, although barely. You don't get style points here, though, but they sure passed it on that low-hanging fruit of $9.4 billion for public broadcasting and also for USAID. Can they go further than that, a bigger batch of money than that? Possibly. But they have to pass it.
Yeah.
Congress has to pass it. And so far, that has just passed one body, the House.
So, okay, we're speaking with Chad Pergram right now. We know that next year is the midterm election year, and everybody's suspecting that how they manage to get this done or not get this done will have huge implications on what happens in the midterm. In your experience of covering Congress, if you have a 20-seat majority Do you find that it's easier for the majority to get things done? Because I watched with the bigger majority that existed before, and they ousted the speaker because they had, they were able to build larger coalitions of people to become more influential. It seems like it's maybe six to half dozen the other. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, sometimes because you have people who can, you know, jump off the wagon and they say, I just can't vote for this for whatever reason. So you certainly have that ability. The problem here is that they said, oh, we're going to be more unified because we realize we have to all play as a team. Well, it's obvious that maybe they're not when I've just cited for you the comments of August Pfluger and Ralph Norman. We haven't even talked about Thomas Massie from Kentucky. You know, they feel very differently about some of these things. And we even talked about the moderates, somebody like Don Bacon from Nebraska or something. So it does make it harder. I mean, anytime, you know, if you're a baseball fan, would you rather have a 4-run lead in the ninth or a 1-run lead in the ninth? Well, guess what? I'd rather have the 4-run. I think that's the underlying principle here.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. Chad Pergram speaking with us at this point. Socially speaking, I from the middle of the country right now, I just assume these people are on the Capitol and they're having policy conversations all the time and everything's about business. But there's probably some social pressure that goes along, especially with such a slim minority or majority, excuse me. What is it like within a party? What are your observations of the kind of pressure, social peer pressure that gets put on the outliers to come in, work with the majority, get the job done?
Yeah, you honed in on something very important there. Yes, that does happen. And some of these folks are afraid to be outliers. And there are others who are not. I mentioned Rand Paul from Kentucky. I mentioned Thomas Massie from Kentucky. Maybe something's going on in Kentucky. But Massie, frankly, just does not care. I mean, he'll make his arguments and say, you're not going to pressure me. And look at the, you know, what President Trump and Caroline Leavitt and others have said about him in the past few days, about the Big Beautiful Bill, about the rescissions bill, you know, a few weeks ago, about, you know, the airstrikes in Iran. I mean, Caroline Leavitt said, well, we don't need him. He should be in the Democratic Party. Oh, really? When you have that majority, that's really not a good way to, you know, make friends and influence people, frankly. You need every vote you can get. And this is where a provision in this Big Beautiful Bill, something called SALT, which refers to a deduction for state and local taxes, which they completely took away in 2017, is very important for members, Republicans, from New York State. And they're like, we have to have this, and it has to be big. And you have some of the conservatives, both in the House, but mostly in the Senate, saying, we don't need that at all. Okay, but the reason Republicans have the majority in the House is because of those New York members. You have to put something in there that appeals to them, that gets their vote. Nick LaLota from Long Island has said he is a hard no if they change it. They negotiated a $40,000 threshold. The threshold right now in the Senate is $10,000. You have Mike Lawler, Republican in New York, just outside New York, same deal. So, you know, you can pressure them all they want, but certain people have hard red.
Lemonade! Fresh squeezed lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Lines. In the case of Rand Paul, he has said it's the debt ceiling increase that's in the bill. And that's one of the main reasons he's against it. He has problems with other things, but he has hinted that he would vote yes if they were to take that out.
So last question before we let you go, because that's really interesting to me. The names that you're listing there out of New York, those blue state Republicans. I live in the state of Illinois. That SALT measure would benefit me, but I also don't feel like it's the conservative thing to do. Thomas Massie is a name that gets talked about all the time. Certainly Rand Paul as well. Mm-hmm. They seem to be immovable. We don't hear those New York Republican names as much. Are they as immovable as the Thomas Massie?
They're pretty immovable because they negotiated something pretty important. I mean, and the difference is they have not voted no. That's maybe why you're not hearing them. They voted yes and have been able to get a deal. Now, some of them have represent swing districts. There has been some criticism. Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader, kind of trolls Mike Lawler on a regular basis because he knows that that's a swing district, and he thinks that maybe they can pick that up next time around. We'll see. So that's probably good politics for the Democrats to light those guys up. You know, Mike Lawler won in 2022 when he was not supposed to win. He won in 2024, despite a very competitive race. So, yeah, those seats are in play. But so far, those guys have been willing and have demonstrated that they've, you know, voted the right way, apparently, because the Democrats haven't been able to flip those seats. Jeffries thought that Lawler would be gone probably in 2026. And some of that is often the case because you have in a president's first midterm, and granted, President Trump was in office before, but, you know, look what happened in 2018. You lose a lot of those seats. That's the historic trend. But, you know, let's look right now. I mean, do some of those echoes of what happened in the New York mayoral primary last night with Mamdani,
yes.
You know, who some people regard as basically a socialist. And that, if actually there was a statement from Laura Gillen, who's a freshman Democrat from just outside the city. She, you know, flipped a district from red to blue last time, said that, you know, this is not who we need, you know, to lead the party, and certainly not somebody to be the mayor of New York City. Does that echo up in Westchester County, New York, which is where Mike Lawler is? And he's able to say, look, I'm a moderate Republican that's more appealing to these socialists who are down in New York City. You see where I'm going with this? Let's see if that has traction. I don't know. We're talking in June. That may or may not be an issue, you know, in about, you know, November of 2026. But those are some of the things we're monitoring. It's a little early to be able to understand where we are with the electorate in the 2026 midterms. Does foreign policy resonate? Did they get this bill done? And, you know, this is what we've seen happen with Republicans before, you know, when they tore into Obamacare. And look at how many seats the Democrats lost in 2010. And historic midterm, 63 seats, mainly because they passed some of those types of things. So, you know, that will resonate as we get closer to the fall. Maybe that's something the Democrats can attack. Maybe the bill doesn't get done, and therefore, you know, they can't weaponize it the same way.
Will you have your plate full? And we appreciate you sharing some of that with us here today. There's so much to watch. It really is very dramatic. And being able to be there on the scene, we're grateful to tap into some of your expertise. Chad Pergram, thank you very much for the time today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Bye-bye. Senior congressional correspondent for Fox News. Please follow him at X on X at Chad Pergram, because as these developments happen, the next couple weeks, actually just really the next week, is going to be incredibly important in this country's future. Those Trump tax cuts on the line. Is the Senate going to be able to get something done that the House will approve? We'll have to wait and see. And Chad Pergram will be at the forefront of covering it. Quick break. When we come back, let's discuss real quickly the YouTube poll. Does the world respect the United States? Your vote, youtube.com/@AnnieFry. We'll be right back.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.